I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Does your mother make a comment about your haircut and you blow up? Does your partner casually mention that they're going out with friends after work and you get upset and withdraw? When you're triggered, you have a strong emotional reaction to something that isn't equal to the situation most of the time, if not all the time. Today, you'll learn how to identify when you're having a trigger and my top tools to effectively deal with triggers in all your relationships. So stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it.
Welcome back to the podcast. Here I am, Dr. Abby Metcalf, coming at you with yet another request from a wonderful listener who asked recently about triggers. And I put this at the top of the queue because I did something on triggers way back in season one, and we are halfway through season six right now. So I thought, you know, it is time for an update on triggers. So I'm excited to come to you today with great tips, tools, all of it. And we're going to do a deep dive on triggers today. So if you're looking for a 2-minute something that's, you know, this is probably not for you, I'm going to give you the science. I'm going to give you the background. I'm going to give you the research-based tools that work. So let's jump in. All right. So what is a trigger? Let's first get to what we're talking about. And I'm often dismayed, as I'm sure many psychologists and mental health professionals are, that the word trigger has become such a common part of our language, sort of like, you know, she's codependent, he's a narcissist, that's a trigger. We sort of throw these words around that are, you know, really have very clear meanings for mental health professionals, but people use so, you know, just normally, shall we say, so what I find is that it's such a common part of our language that the word trigger is often misused or misunderstood. So at its most basic, a trigger is when some person, situation, or even a smell drives an unconscious thought, feeling, or behavior. Okay, that's a trigger. So it's like your brain has been hijacked. That's what's happening in that moment. In other words, you have some reaction that you don't feel you have control over, or you don't even realize you're having it. Often the reaction doesn't match up or isn't commensurate with what's going on in the moment. So that's the big thing to notice about a trigger. I hear people say, well, that really triggered me, you know, when someone in a conversation, And if you're that together in the moment to say that really triggered me, I'm not sure if that was a trigger or not. It's probably something that upset you. Hey, that upset me. That's a little different than what I'm talking about today. A trigger is more, because if you're able to say that in a reasonable way, your brain hasn't been hijacked and you're having a reasonable conversation about it, that's something else. If something makes you feel sad or angry or upset or frustrated, and you're able to say, wow, I feel really frustrated about this, this is really triggering me, you're using it that way, but then you're, you know, yeah, maybe you're a little agitated, but you're actually able to have a conversation easily or within that, then that's not a trigger to me. That's just a feeling you're having, and that's different. Okay. So I want to separate those. So there are emotional triggers, such as your partner mentioning that I had this recently with a client, her partner mentioned that there was a new woman at work who was hired about a month before, you know, and just conversation, he was mentioning somehow this woman, and she said, oh, who's that? And he said, oh yeah, this new woman in whatever accounting who was hired about a month ago. And my client got super angry. She said she felt really jealous, and she accused him. She's like, why have you been hiding this information? You just slipped on that, and now you were trying to hide it, and now you're acting like it's nothing. She like lost her, you know what? And you know, when we got into session, she said, I don't know what came over me. What was that? Because he, of course, got very upset that she was accusing him of something when that was, he literally didn't know this woman. She was like at a meeting, which is that he was at, and she just happened to say something that whatever, you know, it wasn't anybody of consequence to him, which is why he never mentioned her. Why would he? He works at this company. There's a lot of people there. You know, this isn't someone he's in touch with a lot. And he's certainly not someone he was having sex with. And she knows that on a rational level, but she was irrational in that moment. And again, her brain sort of got hijacked. So that's an emotional trigger. There are also, of course, situational or physical triggers. And we think of those a lot when it comes to substance use disorders, eating disorders, things like that. A common one I have with, I'm thinking of a client right now, as a matter of fact, who he's a recovering alcoholic. And when he was drinking, he used to get on planes all the time. And, you know, he flies a lot for work, and when he would drink, and it was, you know, sort of like, oh, I'm getting on a plane, so I deserve a few drinks. And he would have a few drinks always on flights, at least one, maybe two, usually three, on these flights. And so it became a trigger. He would have a very sudden, like have a strong urge to drink when he was in the airports. And, you know, that it's a trigger. He used to, you know, do this thing, and being in an airport reminded him of it. But if you think of airports or airplanes and drinking, you know, and or having an urge to drink, most people would not put that together. Most people would not think, oh my God, I just have to have a drink when I have a flight. But again, people who drink on airplanes all the time, and that's a habit. I'm not saying you're an alcoholic if you get to the airport. Right now, some people are like, oh my God, am I an alcoholic? I'm not saying you are. Although it could be something to look at. If you always have drinks on planes, it might be because you're anxious and this is a way that you stay not anxious on a flight. You know, this does not make you an alcoholic. I just want to be clear, or have an alcohol use disorder. I use that term alcoholic a lot still, and we have shifted it to use disorder in the psychological parlance. But, you know, give me a break here. I say alcohol. Okay. But mostly today, we'll mostly be speaking about emotional triggers. And the tips we'll be discussing, though, would be good for any type of trigger. I do want to say that. Doesn't matter if it's a physical trigger you have, even though I'm going to be talking a lot about emotional triggers, no matter what, these tips will work. So I do want to say that. And in general, triggers can be linked back to different types of trauma. And I'm very careful with that word. Don't stop listening now if you're like, well, I've never had trauma, so this isn't for me. It's when I'm going to explain what I mean by trauma. And so, but give me a minute. So, but this is why you often have an emotional reaction before you even realize you're upset or reach for that drink or reach for that cookie. It's because of this trauma. And when, again, you hear the word trauma, you might be thinking that doesn't apply to me. I've never been the victim of, you know, a violent crime or childhood abuse. But psychological trauma is a very individual experience. And I've been working with people. It's just coming up on 40 years soon. And I can tell you that what traumatizes you might not traumatize someone else. And this is why you might not realize you're dealing with unhealed trauma. And I did an entire episode on you might not realize you're dealing with unhealed trauma. And you can search for that wherever you listen to the podcast, or I will link to it in the show notes, abbymetcalf.com. Go to the podcast page or go to my relationship tips and tools page. I always have a corresponding post blog that I've written with all the links and all the research and all that for every episode I do. It's also a great place if you wanted to have, if you're listening today, and I hope just really listening, and later you want to come back to the notes, that's a perfect place to read. You know, you can read it in 10 minutes versus listening for an hour, right? And get, you know, especially when you've already heard it, you can copy and paste right from there and have your notes. I know, because I love you. That's why. So we're born with certain temperaments and we're born into different families at different times in the family's evolution. There are different genders and all kinds of other factors that make each person's childhood slightly different, even when they're raised in the same family. So how your dad acted as a parent might not have affected your older brother, but might have had a negative impact on you, right? Because of the temperament you were born with, because of when, you know, coming in as the youngest child or whatever. When I think of my family growing up, there was all my siblings are much older than me, which I like to remind them of often. And so, but they lived in a different family than I did so many years later. They just did, you know, when they were, and not to mention the decade they were born in, different than mine. And there's so many factors that relate to that, that yes, things that my parents were not as vigilant, shall we say, as they were with my older siblings. And that can be its own kind of trauma. And again, I'm using that word. I wish there was another word I could use that didn't sound so scary, but you know, it has an effect. And because trauma can also come from neglect, different kinds of neglect, just as easily as it comes from physical, emotional, or sexual abuse or something else. And what I find with many of my clients is that they don't identify something as traumatic because, you know, they're thinking, well, I grew up in a good home, you know, there was an intact family, money, maybe even the best schools, so there was no trauma. But when you drill down, you know, maybe their parents never had time for them and they were shunted off to nannies or other caregivers. Maybe they had an older sibling who bullied them. Maybe they had an undiagnosed learning disability and didn't live up to their potential, which was always an issue. Maybe they were told they were a drama king or queen, you know, because they showed emotion differently, right? They showed emotion differently than the rest of their family, which didn't fit into their family dynamics. Maybe you were gay and lesbian or trans, didn't know, didn't understand, didn't fit in, didn't feel accepted. There are many ways for us to be left feeling like there's something wrong with us or that we're not worthy of love, which result in unresolved trauma that shows up later in our relationships and shows up in these triggers. Now, you can also have triggers from later events. Maybe your childhood was great, had a very functional family and all the good things, but you can also develop triggers from an experienced trauma later in life. I think the most common ones we think of, obviously, are being in a war or being a victim of violence of some kind, rape, or just something horrible, right? Being held at gunpoint or anything violent. Being cheated on in a relationship can result in a trauma when that was not, you know, something you ever expected and you really trusted this person. So having someone betray you can be, if that's not something you've ever experienced in your life and you grew up in a very trusting family or whatever, and you know, in a world where you could trust and then you were betrayed in some significant way, that can be a trauma. Other life experiences, you know, having your home burned down. I had a client whose home burned and she was an artist and all of her art was burned, you know, in her studio. Sort of just huge. Not only were all of her personal belongings burned to the ground, but all of her work was burned to the ground that she had done for years. Losing a job, having a heart attack, being diagnosed with a physical or mental health condition, having cancer, all of these things are traumas. And triggers can also come, so from all those, triggers can also come from a mental health condition. And again, we commonly hear about triggers when we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, which might have come from going to war or from being abused or, you know, something else. You can have PTSD or post-traumatic stress. And we commonly think about triggers when we think about something like PTSD or substance use disorders. Those are really common. But, right, someone being triggered to use drugs or alcohol again. However, I just want to be clear, triggers can also show up with other diagnoses, I should say, like depression or anxiety, eating disorders. So in these cases, a trigger will activate or what we say exacerbate mental health symptoms. Exacerbate means, if you don't know, to make something worse, to worsen it. So it might make a mental health symptom worse. Now, I will tell you, during COVID, I had so many clients who had previously been stable, right? So they'd maybe seen me previously for depression or anxiety or drug addiction, and were stable, have been sober for years, have been stable on with their anxiety or their depression, but who became destabilized during the pandemic. And there's huge research on this. This happened across the board, not just with my clients, and I'll link to that research in my show notes, but, you know, being isolated from others, just, or having their life change in such a dramatic way, it just created a situation where a lot of people regressed and started feeling more anxious, more depressed, more irritable. They started drinking more. They started doing more drugs. Some people even weren't alcoholic or whatever before the pandemic, but developed alcoholism during it because of, again, these other triggers. So the trigger of the pandemic and what happened during that. And some people flourished during the pandemic, I know, but other people did not. So again, all of these things all relate to having triggers. Now, here's the really, I think the most important part is what happens when you're triggered. Because if you don't understand this, you won't understand why a tool, an effective tool that I'm going to teach you would be effective. You'll think, oh, that's so little, that's nothing, that's not going to do anything, you don't understand. I do understand. I do see you. And you need to understand what's happening to you. And actually, at least my clients say, and certainly other people have, that when you learn the why behind, you know, what happens when you're triggered to your brain, it actually helps you feel better. You don't feel so crazy. You're not just face-palming all the time. Why did I do that? What was I thinking? So this is great information to understand why you do what you do and maybe have some empathy for yourself, some compassion, and then some effective tools to move from that. So when you get triggered, your autonomic or your involuntary nervous system becomes what we call dysregulated. I'm using my involuntary nervous system right now I'm using my voluntary nervous system right now as I talk to you, as I move my hands. If you're watching me on YouTube, please subscribe and maybe leave a little comment and like the video and all that good stuff. If you're watching me, I'm moving, I'm talking, I'm doing that. That's my voluntary nervous system. That's something I'm in control of, voluntary. My involuntary nervous system, I'm not in control of. That's all the stuff, you know, my breathing and my breathing, my heart rate, my salivating, my blinking eyes, you know, things that are happening on my digestion from my breakfast this morning. All of those things are happening automatically. They're happening involuntarily. I'm not in control of them necessarily, unless I was Houdini or some magician who could regulate my heart rate and all that. And when we say that becomes, when it's regulated, you know, everything's working normally, everything's working fine. But when it becomes dysregulated, that's when things get hairy. That's when things get crazy. And when you're triggered, your involuntary nervous system gets activated in two different ways. Okay, it gets activated two different ways. The thing I always tell people to think about is, you know, a gazelle eating, you know, on the plains in the Sahara, you know, not in the Sahara, sorry, on the Serengeti plains. How's that? I don't think gazelles are in the desert, but anyway, I know you're laughing at me right now. It's okay. I'm laughing at myself. So let's picture, I don't know, a plain in Africa where a gazelle would be hanging out, and she's eating, she's regulated. Her nervous system, right? Her involuntary nervous system, everything's working. She's resting. We call it the rest digest. This is when your parasympathetic nervous system is turned on. It's lovely. You feel calm. Everything's good. But then a lioness comes rushing out of the bushes and comes to try to eat her, chases her to eat her. Well, she's no longer regulated, right? That's a scary thing. She becomes dysregulated and her involuntary nervous system takes over. Does that make sense? Makes sense, right? Because she doesn't want to stop and think, well, I wonder what I should do right now. Huh, wonder what I should think about. She's just going to start, the fight. And we think of this as the fight, flight, or freeze response, right? You can relate to that. Well, the fight or flight response is actually sort of one response, and the freeze response is really separate. And so I'm going to talk about that right now. So when that involuntary nervous system becomes dysregulated, you either get into what we call a hyperarousal state, which is connected to the fight or flight response, or you get into a state of hypoarousal, not hyper. Hyper is kind of up, hypo is down. You get into a state of hypoarousal, which is connected to the freeze response. You get that? So there's actually two ways you go. Depending on who you are, you go up or down. We can kind of call it that way, right? Fight or flight, up, hyperarousal, or down into the freeze response. Now, there's also something I've talked about before on the podcast called the fawn response. Sometimes it's called the fold response, or we say the freeze submit response. Fawning was a term coined by Peter Walker when he talked about complex PTSD. And I speak about that in a whole other episode called Your People Pleasing Might Be a Fawn Response. And again, I will link to that in the show notes, or you can search for it on my website or on whatever platform. Sorry, my nose itches. Whatever platform you're listening to me on, you can search. Abby Metcalf Fawn, it'll come up. So this fawn or fold or freeze submit response, all of these, are also connected. So that's all hypoarousal. Although I will say that I've noticed sometimes have a people-pleasing response that could go hyperarousal or hypoarousal. So I have a little argument there with some of the research, but I'll just say that if people-pleasing is an issue for you, it's time to learn about the fawn response and how to have a healthy response instead. So please go listen to that episode, the full episode, go deep in on that, okay? But in general, it's very important that you identify what normally happens to you when you're triggered, because the tools that you're going to use for hyperarousal are often different than what you'd use if you often go into hypoarousal. Okay. And that often, not always. So I do want to say before we jump in, it would be great to try all the tips I'm going to outline, because you never know what might work for you. So even if you identify going into a hypoarousal state when you're triggered, after I explain what that is, it might be helpful to try a tool from the hyperarousal list just to see if it works for you. You know, everyone's an individual, everyone's different. So I really want to say that. I also want to say I go into great detail. I talk about the window of tolerance and other things in my latest book, Boundaries Made Easy, Your Roadmap to Connection, Ease, and Joy. It's on Audible. It's an ebook. It's all the things. It's really doing wonderfully. I'm really proud of it. You'll see it's 5 stars. People love it. I will also say, though, that there's a workbook up there right now that is plagiarized from me. So if you look below, you'll see it has the exact same title. It's a workbook, but it is not mine. I am writing a workbook right now to sort of counteract this, act of terrorism and stealing. But you will see if you click on it, it says it's unauthorized, even though it has my exact title of my book and my name attached to it. But they are sleazy people. And, you know, that's, I shouldn't, well, no, I can. They stole from me is what they did. I shouldn't call them sleazy. I don't know who they are. But they did steal from me. It's stealing. They didn't ask me for permission. So please do not buy from them. Please, please. And there's tons of tips and tools in my book as it is. You will have so much there that you can get. So please buy my book, but do not buy the workbook that is not authorized by me. Okay. So I know, little tangent off the side there, but I keep mentioning it because it's still sitting up there and it's hard to watch your work get stolen and it just sucks. Anyway, so let's talk about hyper arousal. So hyper, the up response and the fight flight response, right? So hyper arousal, fight flight response. And the same thing. So basically, when you're in hyper arousal, you're in a heightened state of energy. You're in a heightened state of activation. Your nervous system, this involuntary nervous system, is on high alert from some trigger and perceived threat. It doesn't matter if it's a real threat or not. It's something you perceive. Like my client, as I mentioned, getting so angry at her partner when he mentioned this woman at work, she immediately got into this response, right? This angry, jealous, you know, furious response. And when you're in hyper arousal and this fight flight, when you're up there, you'll likely be experiencing one or more of the following. So here's how you know if you go into this state, you know, usually when you're triggered. So there's hypervigilance. You'll notice that. This is basically a state of you're just highly alert and you're continually assessing threats around you. And so agitated, you're worried, you know, if you're jealous of your partner, you're stalking them you're setting up fake accounts on social media and you're stalking them on social media, you're going down those terrible rabbit holes of who's liking their stuff and who they're liking. And oh my God, you are on high alert. You're everything they say or when they come home, you're listening, you're watching, you're on high alert. Another symptom is that your emotions feel like they're in hyperdrive. There's generally a lot of anger, rage, hostility, lashing out. There's fear. There's agitation. There's anxiety or panic. Okay. Your emotions are just in hyperdrive. There's also something we call emotional flooding, which tends to happen up here. And that is that there's an emotional overwhelm. So that might be when you cry uncontrollably or rage uncontrollably. There's like an emotional flood. Hopefully that makes sense. Racing thoughts are often also part of hyper arousal or that fight flight response. You might have some hyperactivity, inability to relax, you know, some restlessness, sleeplessness. Other common symptoms are chronic pain, tense or rigid muscles. Nightmares go in here. Flashbacks go in here. A flashback is when you sort of see a when you get triggered and you see something from your past. This could be seeing an abuser's face. All of a sudden, you're flashing back to a time when you were held against your will or something else. We call those flashbacks. Okay.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So if you're relating to that, when you get triggered, it's like, wow, that's where I go when I'm triggered. Then here are some things you could do for the fight flight response. When you're stressed out or upset, these are the specific things. And again, please try these even if you don't relate to any of those. And I'll get to hypoarousal in a minute. So straw breathing is one of my favorites. When you're in a fight or flight mode, again, your sympathetic nervous system is turned on and you want to turn on your parasympathetic nervous system. That's what sort of your sympathetic nervous system was what gets you so agitated like that, the fight or flight, the running, the doing. And your parasympathetic is that rest, digest, calm down nervous system. I always think of it as your sympathetic nervous system is like a fire and your parasympathetic nervous system is like the water that cools that down. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So your goal is to get that to come on board. And again, that calming nervous system pathway. And it's super simple. It's a quick way to do this is straw breathing. So what you want to do is get yourself a straw. I recommend a metal one. If you are watching me on YouTube, you will see here it is right at my desk. And I have one of those metal ones. I also noticed my lipstick is off. Okay. one of these metal ones that I can reuse. I do wash it though. I try to clean it sometimes, but I leave it here in my little pen holder. And so get yourself a straw, but it can be disposable or not. And you can carry it though in your bag or put it in your glove compartment. You know, it's nice to have a few around so they're easy to grab. And then set a timer for 2 minutes or just, if you can't set a timer, then just do this. What you want to do is take a long, slow, deep breath in through your nose, you know, in through your nose as long and slow as you can. And then what you want to do is exhale through the straw, through your mouth, through the straw as slowly as you can. And why we love the straw, if you don't have a straw, you can just do this, but the straw makes you exhale even slower. It's the slow exhale that's the money. That is what tells your parasympathetic nervous system that it can turn on. It turns on your vagus nerve. It's all good. This is where your vagus nerve is really like your body's Valium. You know, you start releasing, you know, vasopressin and other wonderful calming neurotransmitters, and you really start to calm. And you want to repeat the process for 2 minutes. So you can just do it 5 or 6 times if you want, you know, or if you have a timer for 2 minutes, great. Again, if you don't have a straw, just do it. You know, breathe in as slowly as you can and exhale as slowly as you can through your mouth. The slower the exhale, the more calming it is to your system. So again, the straw breathing gives you your most bang for your buck. The other thing I would recommend, a second tool I would recommend, is to meditate daily for 15 minutes. This is a preventative tool, and obviously not something you can do in the moment, but getting yourself to start meditating is huge. It's another way meditation will improve your life. Meditation's a game changer. I talk about it all the time. When it comes to managing your emotions, there's nothing like meditation. It focuses your attention and your awareness. You're not trying to turn off your thoughts and feelings as much as you're trying to observe them without judgment. And there are tons of different meditation practices. You know, there's mindfulness meditation, there's walking movement meditation, there's mantra, there's loving kindness meditations, there's transcendental meditations. They're all good. I do always want to say meditation is not about nothing. It's not about emptying your mind because your mind will absolutely wander. But that's part of meditation. It's really about focusing on something, noticing your mind has wandered and bringing it back to the original focus. I do a lot of meditation. I have a meditation starter kit here on the website. You can download that. It's on the shop page, although it doesn't cost you anything. And I do have a meditation program, Learn to Meditate for 15 minutes in 15 days. And you can download that. I think it's $11.11 because we were cute with the pricing. You can download that. You can start with the free one. I don't care. Do it on YouTube. I don't care. Just start meditating. Make that an important part of your life. And then a third tool is cognitive reframing. Because when you're in fight or flight mode, your mind is racing. And a tool called cognitive reframing can help slow you down and get you back in charge of your thoughts. So I do a whole episode on this, but again, at its most basic level, cognitive reframing helps you. It helps you look at a situation, a person, a thought, or a feeling from a different perspective. It's a strategy that helps you really open your mindset to a new point of view, you know, a new angle of what's happening so you can think differently about it. And this is crucial because what do I say all the time? You feel the way you think. So changing your thinking about something will change how you feel about it. And that's how you go from feeling shitty to feeling at peace about something so you can stop letting it bother you and stop thinking about it. So what's my favorite reframe? I don't know why I'm forgetting it. My favorite reframe is life is happening for you, not to you. When you start thinking that way about things, it feels different. That's a very quick example of a cognitive reframe. Thinking of problems as challenges is another cognitive reframe. Some reframes are easy and some are harder. So there's you really have to learn the process. And I do, again, a deep dive into cognitive reframing in an episode I have called How to Stop Overthinking and Let Things Go That Bother You. So you can look that up, or I will link to it in the show notes or on the Relationship Tips and Tool page. But that is something you should really get good at. Again, even if you don't relate to hyperarousal, cognitive reframing will help you no matter what in life. So highly recommend. Listen to that episode. Okay. Now let's talk about hypoarousal and that freeze, fawn, fold, submit response, okay? One of the things that happens if a gazelle is running from a tiger or a lioness and gets caught is that if you ever see that, it's sort of horrifying to watch, but she will sort of lay there. At a certain point, she stops fighting. She doesn't fight. When she knows she's caught, the lioness will actually often start, if it hasn't broken her neck yet, will often start eating her alive. And the gazelle just sort of sits there and you're going, what on earth is going on? And that is because, you know, Mother Nature, God, the universe, evolution, I don't care what you believe in, there, you know, has put this thing in place that when we are in positions where we feel like we cannot escape and the reality is too terrifying for our brains to handle, we will go into this submit response, this total freeze and submit, and our brain will flood in this calmness, and so that we can get through it. And that is something that a lot of rape victims I've worked with have talked about this. And of course, there's huge shame that will go along with this. You know, why didn't I fight? Why didn't I yell? Well, this is an automatic response that happens to help you survive. So the freeze response is, again, also known as this hypoarousal state, not hyper, that goes up, right? Hypo goes down. So if you were to think of the fight or flight response as maybe overactivation, you know, that the fight or flight, the hyperarousal is kind of overactivation, then the hypoarousal, this fawn, fold, submit, freeze, is all about underreacting. So this is where you have too little arousal. You don't have enough arousal because of an overloaded parasympathetic nervous system. So remember I said that parasympathetic is like the cooling or the calming. It's too calm. It's gone too much. So if you go into hypoarousal or freeze response, the symptoms are things like feeling zoned out, brain fog or feeling spacey, depression, or a really what we call a flat affect, where it seems like, you know, you're almost talking like a robot. You don't, there's no emotion in your voice. There's nothing coming through when you're talking about things. You might notice emotional numbness, like you're just numb, lethargy or oversleeping, just really a major shutdown mode, exhaustion, chronic fatigue, disorientation, emptiness, dissociation. We say dissociation, by the way, not disassociation. Those are two different things. A disconnection, headaches, nausea, feelings of shame and hopelessness, being passive and very compliant. Okay. So you can see how different this is from the hyper arousal state. And by the way, sometimes people get into the hyper arousal state and get so overwhelmed, right, that they get into a hypo arousal state afterwards. Interesting. Or sometimes people who are always react with hypo arousal get to a place where that is even too much, and then they jump into a hyper arousal state, not commonly, but occasionally. So here are some tips for that state, okay, for that. And again, even if you're hyper arousal, I would like you to try these and see if they work for you. So the first one is what we call fake it till you make it. We say that a lot in the 12 steps. And, you know, for people in recovery listening, they'll recognize it, fake it till you make it. Since our nervous systems often take cues from each other, having a motto of fake it till you make it can actually be useful. This means that you can physically make some simple changes that will help shift that freeze response, and it'll help shift your mood, your physiology. So changing your physiology is one of the quickest ways to help yourself shift out of that freeze response. So, and I'm going to list some suggestions here from, you know, the most exertion to the least. All are beneficial, although I'd like you to make it a goal to create a habit of moving your body more in general. If hypoarousal is an issue for you, if you related when I said numbness, this, all this, I want you to really make it a point to be exercising every day. That's got it. I don't care if it's going for a walk. I don't care what it is, but you have to be exercising more than just, I mean, again, both states, it's very helpful to exercise. You know, for the hyper arousal, it's helpful because it burns off stress hormone. For hypo, it just helps because this sort of fake it till you make it, getting into a different exertion is really healthy for you. So the highest exertion would be getting your heart rate up, going to the gym, going for a run, going for a strenuous walk, playing a sport, jumping rope for a minute or two, riding a bike, you know, anything like that. Then as we come down a notch, you know, going just for a walk, a brisk walk, hopefully, or a walk around your home. Down below that would be getting up and moving within your home. Finding reasons to stand and move. I have a standing desk here at my office so that I get up and down in between things. When I'm writing out the podcast, I'm almost always with my standing desk up. And then when I record, of course, I'm sitting. It's a little easier, although maybe I should try to record standing. I haven't thought of that. Anyway, you know, that would be like a level down, just finding reasons to stand and move instead of being efficient with your energy, be inefficient with your energy. You know, make multiple trips to go to the kitchen if you're going to the kitchen. Don't, you know, make multiple trips to walk to things. And then getting even lower in the exertion. If you feel so numb and paralyzed, the idea of going to the gym, you got to be kidding me. So that's why I'm bringing you down, you know, in the exertion level, but doing something. The Superman pose is really important, where you stand with your feet shoulder width apart. You raise your chest while relaxing and lowering your shoulders. So they should not be scrunched up when you raise your chest. You want to tilt your head back just slightly and raise your face to the sky or ceiling. And put your hands on your hips, still keeping those shoulders relaxed. The shoulders relaxed is very important. Chest up, shoulders relaxed, hand on your hips. Feet shoulder width apart, and then simply take in some deep breaths through your nose and exhaling as slowly as possible through your mouth. And then if you're looking for the lowest exertion, you do not feel like you can get off the couch, do the Superman pose modified for a seated position. Just do all the things I said except standing up. Just do them all. Try to at least move your legs apart, you know, try to sit up straight for a moment, you know, shoulders relaxed, hand on hips, head tilted slightly, not all the way back, and do the Superman pose and take some breaths. Okay. that's, you know, so I took you from the highest exertion to the lowest, something to do. Second tip is to breathe with a mantra. So I want you to have a mantra at the ready for when you're feeling paralyzed or stuck, you know, just right there. It's a great way to get moving again. You can choose anything as your mantra as long as it just has to satisfy two guidelines, okay? Two. It needs to be uplifting in some way, and it also needs to be something you can believe, okay? That's your guidelines. So everything is figure outable if you can do that, right? It's uplifting and it's something you can believe. You probably can believe everything's figure outable because everything's ever always been figure outable in your life. I've always found a way before and I'll find a way again. Right this moment, I'm safe and I'm okay. I know right this moment, I might be freaking out or something else, but right this moment, I'm safe and okay. This thing that I haven't not paid my taxes, like right this moment, my taxes don't matter, or that bill on my desk. It's right this moment, I'm in my house, everything's okay. I have walls around me, I have food in the fridge. Right this moment, everything's okay. I'm safe and okay. Another one could be something like, I can do anything I set my mind to. All is well, right here, right now. I choose to be calm and at peace right now. See all those? Those are all mantras you could have in the moment. And then now that you have one, just try to have the same one over and over that you can again believe and is uplifting. You want to couple that with some easy breathing. And in this case, what I want you to do is place one hand on your belly and one hand on your chest. You can't see me on YouTube or whatever, but one hand on your chest, one hand on your belly. And you're going to breathe and you're going to ensure that only the hand on your belly moves. And there's no movement in your chest. I know. This is a thing. You'll see. So as you take in a long, slow breath, you want to feel your stomach expand and the hand that's on your stomach rise. And as you exhale slowly, you're going to feel your stomach contract and the hand on your stomach should come in. The hand on your chest should not move at all for either the inhale or the exhale. And you do that and you recite your mantra silently along with your breathing, okay? You can even, you know, say something out loud each way. As you breathe in, you can say something. And as you breathe out, you can say something. So I might breathe in and say in my head, all is well, and then breathe out and say here and now. I think it's best to do it silently, but if it's going to help you more to do it out loud, do it out loud. Then that's great. Use whatever works for you as you just focus on your words and the breathing. And then the third tip, and again, I think everyone should try them, are grounding exercises. When you're in hyper or hypo arousal states, your brain has been hijacked. That's really what to know. So grounding exercises are quick exercises that you do to bring yourself into the present moment, you know, where you're okay and safe. And grounding exercises are simple to use. They take just a minute or maybe or two and are highly, highly effective. So because I love you, I have a list of five from the research, of course, that you can download if you've never downloaded them before. You can come to the website, abbymetcalf.com, come to this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, it should be linked below the video. There'll be a link for that. And if there's not, leave a comment and we'll make sure a link gets up there. But there always is. My right hand, Michelle, is amazing. And you can download five grounding exercises and use one or all or whatever. Try them all. See if you like them. But I'm not going to get into that now because you can just download that and read it. To be transparent, as I always am, because you know I don't do anything sleazy here at Casa Abby, you will be put on my weekly love letter list. If you're not on there, I don't know why you're not. If you like my podcast, you're going to love the love letter. I do not sell things. I'm not barraging you with multiple emails. You'll get one email a week and it's a love letter. It's a tool, a tip. It's some way to think about life differently. It's meant to be inspiring and motivating. That is all. It is my give. I'm trying to help people live their best lives. That's what I'm doing here. And so you'll get on that list when you download anything from me. However, if you don't like it for some reason, just unsubscribe. I won't notice. It's okay. It's okay. You can do that just with love. And I send you lovingly on your way. Okay. So lastly, I just want to say that there's some preventative things you can do so you don't get triggered. In addition, like if you practice the breathing, if you practice grounding exercises every day, these are preventative things you can do. All of these great, you know, but if you don't remember to use the tips in the moment, you get into trouble, right? So really what I want you to focus on overall are number one, increasing your self-awareness so you can identify situations, people, triggers that make it hard to, you know, to not get triggered. And so the self-awareness is huge. It's so, so huge. And I, again, do a whole episode on 4 ways to be more self-aware. I will link to it. Or again, search the keyword self-awareness, Abby Metcalf, it'll come up. And the other thing to do is to really get deep on your mindfulness, practicing day-to-day mindfulness so you can identify how you're feeling in a moment and then prevent getting triggered at all, hopefully. And I have a free mindfulness toolkit, starter kit. I have, again, you can download that from the shop page on the website. I have multiple episodes on mindfulness and how important it is and how to make it a habit and all those things. Go listen, go watch, go read, go any of that. But make that a top priority in my latest book, Boundaries You Made Easy. I have a whole chapter on mindfulness and how to do it and all kinds of tips on it. There's so many ways you can pay me or not pay me to get that information. Okay. So please do it. And please come over and download your grounding exercises if that feels good for you. Again, hyperarousal, hypoarousal, either one. I'd like you to try all the tips and tools here about managing your triggers, so that you can really change your life and start that feeling of being hijacked, like you just can't help it, is the worst feeling in the world. It is so demoralizing. It lowers our self-esteem, our feelings of self-efficacy and power, empowerment in the world. And that sucks. And I don't want that for you. You don't deserve it. I love you. This should not be how you're living your life. It is really time to get in charge of triggers and get more conscious of what is happening and how you're feeling so that you can stop them. Because being a victim, as you know, is not something I allow with anybody listening to me. You are not a victim in your life. It is time to get in charge. It is time to do one small thing. I don't care what it is, any of the things I mentioned today, and start moving things around. You deserve it. You really do. Life on the other side is so incredible. And I need you to have it. I need you to have it. We need more people who feel good in this world. We need you. I need you. I need you. So that is it for today. As always, thank you so, so much for listening. Oh my God, and watching and reading and just, you know, hey, send me an email. Let me know how you're doing. Comment under a video if you see it. Rate, please, or rate me on Spotify or review on Apple. These are ways to give back to me. They mean so, so much. I read all of it. It's so beautiful. It helps me stay motivated to keep doing this work, to know I'm not just speaking out into nothingness. I'm sitting here all alone in my office doing a lot of this work, and it's really nice. You know, when I'm writing, I feel you. I connect with you. I'm talking to you, which feels really good. And as with any relationship, it feels really good when it's reciprocal, and I can feel it back also. I appreciate your love so much. And your time and your attention, and grateful to be here with you as always. I love you. If no one else tells you that this week, I really, really do. Hope you have an incredible week, and I will talk to you so soon.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got 2 quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.